Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
This is random. It's nice. But
no,
it's
Chris
kinda...
has us reunited in the
studio.
Reunited,
oh, reunited yeah. Now? I'm going to have to draw me a picture.
Yeah, huh? One good thing.
It's not like 70s wow. Light rock day.
Damn.
Yacht rock.
Jordana and Paul, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for hanging out on
in the studio.
WLTE, Light Rock here, serving the Twin Cities.
Tubbsy at the helm.
That was nice, yeah. Chris. Thank you. Yeah, it has been a while since we've all been together, just forgetting basic things. Where are the bathrooms again?
I know. Yeah. Just listening to the news now, Amy Klobuchar is in Poland.
Yeah.
And as she mentioned, she was on with Vanita this morning, and we were listening to that, and she said she can't say everything on the radio, but we wanted to share some of, you know, what she's seeing there. Mm-hmm. And she was asked about China's involvement. So let's play a little bit of that. Chris, you have that clip. Who she sees fleeing to Poland?
It's mostly seniors, women, kids, people who've lost their homes, whose husbands are left behind fighting for Ukraine, and all of them grateful for the help from the NATO nations, but also scared for the future of their own country.
And thank God for Poland. Oh, I've said this and will continue to say it. Open arms, open borders, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 million people have fled Ukraine. Most of those have wound up in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be interesting, too. Apparently, Poland wants to donate its 23 Russian-made MiGs, the aircraft,
mm-hmm.
to Ukraine.
Great.
So they can have some control over the airwaves
mm-hmm.
in Ukraine. But Poland wants the United States to step up and replace those planes. Those
don't blame them.
Not with MiGs, not with Russian-made mm-hmm. aircraft, but with maybe, you know, F-15s. Here in the United States. And I think there's been some hesitancy on the part of the Biden administration, concerned that maybe that would ratchet up the odds of escalation, this thing turning into World War III. Haven't met one person yet who wants World War III.
I know, but I was talking about this in the morning without you, and you and I can get into this also. Paul, as human beings, though, we can't sit here
and do nothing.
And do nothing.
Right.
That's right.
I agree.
And sure, nobody wants World War III. And I'm not saying, maybe I am saying that we need to get more serious about defending humanity.
No fly zone?
In Ukraine. Yeah.
No fly zone?
Yeah. I understand that would provoke, but who? We're sitting here afraid of Putin's whims? That's what we're doing. Because if he takes Ukraine, what's next? Maybe Poland.
Boy,
maybe I'll hop
Moldova?
Over to Norway or Sweden. Maybe I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
it's not that he's going to be like, oh, okay, good, I just wanted Ukraine. The man's a lunatic madman. He's out for power and bloodlust. And whatever is prompting this, maybe he wants to leave a legacy or is dying as a terminal illness and wants to, you know, finally reunite the USSR, whatever the slights of his youth are, it's not that he's going to stop. And what are we doing? We're letting him set the terms of how these borders are going to be withdrawn. And is that who we are in the world?
He wants to reconstitute the Soviet Union. He is still offended.
We shouldn't care what he
that
wants.
That the Soviet Union broke up.
He's a lunatic.
In the early 90s,
right.
and he wants a buffer zone between NATO and Russia.
Well, he needs therapy to get over it and to move on with his life. And that's not our problem. But the problem is with the rest of the world. And what are we going to do about it? We are just at his whims. Oh, if he stops in Ukraine, oh, okay, then it was worth it. But no, if he doesn't, is that when World War III happens? When he now has another country under his belt? Like, do we want to be in the world?
Adolf Hitler said, I'm going to go into Czechoslovakia.
Exactly.
We need more territory. We're going to go into Sudetenland, and then I'm done.
And then I'm done.
And Neville Chamberlain and others said, okay, we believe him. Yeah, he seems like an upright guy. Okay, mm-hmm. let's give him what he wants. Mm-hmm. And then he invaded Poland, and that that kicked off
right.
World War II.
So people say we don't want World War III. Of course we don't. We don't want it now, but what, we're going to want it later when he now has the Ukrainians that he's turned over and has more manpower and has the megs that they got? I mean, when do we stop this lunacy?
But here's the thing. The Russian forces, their invasion has been a big belly flop.
Well, sure, sure.
Right? And at least the traditional conventional forces have been underwhelming. And keep in mind, Russia is not China. Russia, you want to guess the size of their economy?
I don't.
It's 11th. It's roughly the same size. Mm. Their economy is similar to Italy's. Mm. They don't have the kind of strength and the ability to project typical strength, conventional forces like China does. Now, do they have nuclear forces? Absolutely. Do they have chemical and probably biological weapons? Mm-hmm. And that's the concern. You know, if Putin's going down, is he going to go down swinging? Is he going to remain rational? Is he going to resort to chemical weapons like the proxies in Russia did in Syria? Are we going to hear report, wake up some morning and suddenly not only is Kyiv surrounded and they're trying to starve the local population, but now they're using chemical weapons to try to get some resolution faster. And that's what the concern is. Is that a red line for NATO and the United States?
The
if they start
is,
using chemical weapons to kill civilians in the Ukraine, at that point, does NATO step in?
We have to be talking about red lines. We do. We have to. And it's going to have to be sooner than later. People are dying. People are fleeing. The destruction is unbelievable.
And now they're talking to China. Apparently, Putin has asked China for help in his war against Ukraine, including using drones, according to U.S. officials. And observers see this, Jor, as a defining moment for China and the direction China wants to go in the 21st century. U.S. officials say this is concerning. And there would absolutely be consequences for Beijing if it gives the Kremlin any kind of a workaround to U.S. sanctions. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But yeah, China's on the hot seat. They have to choose.
Joe Lindsley is our reporter on the ground. He is in Lviv. I was chatting with him earlier today. There were air raid sirens happening. He says things have calmed down. He will be joining us on the live stream, Facebook and Twitter, and here on the air next on CCO.
We are back and we are live. We're live on Facebook. We're live on Twitter. We're live on WCCO Radio. Paul and I are in the studio and we are now joined. And I'm so glad every time I see him and hear his voice by Joe Lindsley, who is our reporter on the ground in Lviv. He is with the Lviv Lab, an independent news organization that he founded a few years ago when he moved to Ukraine. Joe, it is so wonderful to see you.
Hey, great to see you all. Thank you for letting us speak to you and share the stories of Ukraine with America.
So, Paul, when I was talking to Joe earlier today, he said there were air raid sirens. So tell us, what is happening in Lviv today?
Well, you know, when we spoke last week, we had a period of calm here. It was the first time since the war began for about 5 or 6 days, we had no air raid alerts whatsoever. And then the past 3 days, from about 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 or 3 in the morning until 8 a.m., 3 days in a row, the entire city has been sheltered. And the climax of that was Sunday, was the second day of that, when Yavoriv, which is a military base halfway between Lviv and Poland. So it starts maybe about 35 miles from Lviv, and the Russians attack that. I'm sure you've read all the news about that today, but it's very notable because, I mean, for 8 years since the Euromaidan Revolution, almost 8 years, NATO and American Marines and others have been training and working with Ukrainians at that base, and a lot of the foreign fighters coming in from all over the world were coming in the past weeks into that base. And so the fact that Russia targeted a base that's so close to Poland, if they had missed, they could have hit NATO territory. I actually was very near that base last spring. I went into the forest on a hike and a picnic with friends, and it's, you know, we had Polish cell service, so it is very interesting how close they were willing to get. And, you know, I will say in that, when I was there in the summertime, there's some Jewish cemeteries there, and there's a lot of reminders of what happened in World War II. And there were villages that were, the Jewish populations were completely wiped out by the Nazis. And I remember walking through those forests just a few months ago, trying to imagine wartime in that peaceful land And I could never have imagined this moment, and now we don't have to imagine because it's returned.
Joe, I'm curious, what is the mood of the people in Lviv? I mean, I know Ukrainians are stoic and they're fierce, and they're doing everything they can to protect their homeland and their hometowns. Mm. But talk a little bit about the mindset. And is it a siege right now in Lviv? Are people being fed? Is there enough water? Is the power staying on?
Yeah, Lviv is completely functioning. You know, there's a siege in Mariupol, which is on totally surrounded by the Russians and being constantly attacked. And they have limited access to the outside world. Kharkiv has been under fire in the east. But Lviv is normal. In fact, well, with one major difference, the city feels very different because there are so many foreign journalists and diplomats, and everyone in the city comments that, you know, you go to your usual places and we don't recognize all these people. So the city has taken on a very different atmosphere. So it feels extremely foreign. Strangely, over the weekend, for the first time, music returned to the streets, maybe because people have to go on, people want to make money. But even after that horrible strike on the airbase, which about half of the city could feel their houses shake, those who lived on the western side of the city could feel the impact of those explosions. Some of those explosions were Ukrainian air defense, and some were the Russians being successful. So, Paul, I'll say Lviv, it's like being – it's the same city, but it's like it's ripped from the pages of a different book right now. It's very strange. Ukrainians now this morning at 2 a.m. when we were awakened again, the whole city is listening together. Everyone is texting with each other, saying, do you hear anything? And sort of communicating in this network of friends and family and sort of the civil society. So Ukrainians, the Leopolitans, the people of Lviv, we've been preparing for weeks. A lot, you know, at the train station where there were tons of refugees, a lot of that has been cleaned up. They have moved significant numbers of refugees away to safety, women and children. And so there is a sense of readiness here for what might come.
Tell us about the president. I believe I saw him walking around the city of Kyiv this weekend. What do you hear from him? Does he remain safe? What's the latest?
Well, I think the thing I realized, you know, his actions are impacting individual Ukrainians and sort of giving them courage. And when you ask Ukrainians, what are they feeling? You know, in fact, I mentioned this to you last week, but there was an American. We have a lot of Americans sort of showing up here. An American reporter asked if it was safe to go to Kyiv. And one of the Ukrainians on our team responded, as long as our president is not only there, but walking the streets, you know, Kyiv stands and it's safe. Kyiv has been in this very strange waiting period. There is this column of, you know, Russian tanks and apparatus starting about 15 miles north of Kyiv. It's been sitting there. Ukrainians haven't attacked it, and it's just waiting. And so Kyiv feels like it's a hornet's nest now, waiting for something to happen. But the president, I would say Zelensky continues to inspire regular Ukrainians. Today, an American called, and I was with a group of Ukrainians, and this American from Texas said, you know, how are you guys doing? And one of my Ukrainian friends said this. He said, I'm good because we have a war with Russia for freedom, for our values, which is why I'm happy, because everything is clear. And there is this, you know, there's a lot of suffering here, as we see, but there's a strong sense that this was going to happen sometime and people are ready for it. And I think a lot of that energy comes from Zelensky's attitude.
Yeah. I mean, the resistance, some people are saying this is going to be Russia's Afghanistan. I've heard that good luck occupying long term Ukraine. It would take hundreds of thousands, possibly a couple of million of Russian forces to do that. I'm curious, do you hear the same things that we hear from the press, Joe, in terms of the longer this drags out, the more desperate Putin may be to score a win. And the only way he may be able to get a win is if he ratchets up the weapons, whether it's chemical or biological or, God forbid, even tactical nukes. Or we're hearing reports, not in Lviv, but also in some of these other cities around Ukraine, of indiscriminately targeting civilians. I mean, specifically targeting civilians to make a point, to instill terror. How are people on the street taking this?
Well, I mean, and from moment one, from the first attack on Kharkiv when this began, civilians have been the main target. In that sense, the attack on the military base there was sort of unusual. And we see evacuation corridors have been targeted. And the comparisons to Hitler have been clear because there's been no regard for civilian safety. And we see this right in the past week in the suburbs north of Kyiv, where there's been intense fighting, where citizens and foreign journalists have been killed. I was talking with friends in Sweden a couple of days ago, and they say the Swedes are on high alert, that people are being called up to the military reserves there. It's not being widely reported. Really? But other neighbors in Europe are beginning to worry and say, will this, and this is what the refrain of many Ukrainians is, they think that today, Ukrainians feel that they're fighting for the West and because that they don't think that Putin would be stopped if he could succeed in taking this country. And I think that attack so close to the Polish border, suggests that he might have bigger designs.
Joe, I'm following on social media, and I know you posted this past weekend that your Facebook had been shut down and possibly your Twitter. Who is shutting these down, and do you feel that you can still give information out, true information from where you are?
Well, this is why primarily we've been posting our content on our Telegram channel, where you can reach your users directly without algorithms. And Telegram might have some Russian connections, so we never use that for private communication. We only use Signal, but for public broadcasts, we use Telegram. We had a Ukrainian Freedom News page on Facebook, and we had just started it, and we got shut down within maybe, I guess, 2 days. And frankly, I haven't had the time to challenge or fight it. We have to be mobile and move around to as many channels as possible. So we have that landing page, LvivLab.com, which is hosted in America, where we can hopefully always get information out no matter what happens.
Joe, how are you doing? Are you getting enough sleep, enough to eat? I mean, I'm just amazed at the reporting that you're doing, and we're so glad to have you on our air. So glad that you're safe. But how are you doing?
Well, for one, I'm if I ever get too tired or want to complain, I mean, the energy of my team of Ukrainians around me here in our newsroom and our bunker, and all of the friends I've made the past 2 years when I got accidentally stuck here in the pandemic, everyone has rallied together to help each other and even just to encourage each other. I feel I'm meant to be here. The past 3 days, we have hardly anyone's got enough sleep, and we're all reminding each other we have to. And I haven't been able to go running in 3 days, which I was even doing, during the war. We have to stay fit and healthy should the worst hit the city. And we do try to remind each other this. So after I get off of this, I will hopefully be going to sleep with no air raid alarms tonight. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Thank you for staying up late with us.
Yeah.
Get some rest. But every day that I can check in with you or see you on Instagram is a good day. I can breathe a sigh of relief. So thank you for keeping us posted. And we're going to keep checking in with you.
Thank you so much. And I would say if your viewers have any questions about Ukraine and, things that I can think of in advance, I'd be happy to. We got a great team here. We'd be happy to try to help answer Americans' questions.
Should they go to LvivLab.com, LvivLab.com?
Absolutely. And then you can click on our Telegram channel and send us questions there. And we'll be happy to do what we can to share the reality of this. Yep.
God bless you, Joe, and God bless the people of Ukraine and everybody who's supporting Ukraine. So thank you for joining us today on CCO. Be safe.
Hey, thank you both. Do pobachina from Ukraine. Till next time.
Thanks, Joe. Till next time. He is so inspiring. Just his energy. It's 11:30 there or midnight there. He's always so positive and so, that they're going to be victorious.
They're
going to
prevail.
Confident. He's amazing.
It's going to be ugly, but yeah, they're going to prevail. No doubt. No doubt.
All right. Quick break on CCO. We'll be right back. Thanks for watching.
100 digits of pi. 3.14159, this is pi, followed by 2653589, circumference over diameter, 7, 9, then 3, 2, 3.
Where in the world did you find this?
This is frightening. 4, 3, and now we're on a spree. 38 and 32, now we're blue, oh who knew? 7,950 and then a 2. 88 and 41, so
I shouldn't be surprised that there's a song, because people love Pi Day.
My 11-year-old loves it. She knows this by heart.
Stop it.
I kid you not.
Oh, she knows this. Well. She'll do very well in life.
Right. Well, I didn't realize that, like, Pi Day was just like, oh, 3.14.
I didn't realize this was like a creepy song. I was like, oh, you guys will like it. I didn't realize. But then again, yeah, your kids are a little bit older than mine. I mean, she's 11. Yeah. Oh, she loves us.
Dwight Schrute from The Office said, it's Pi Day. No. Pi's first seven digits are 3.141592, which means the only legitimate Pi Day ever in history was March 14th, 1592. 3.141592. So
yeah, but that's also from a guy who would he'd have beet pies. I mean, does he really have that much credibility?
I'm going to trust Dwight on this. Okay, yeah. He looks trustworthy.
I wrote you a quiz.
Okay, really?
Are you ready? God.
Oh, man.
Chris, if you did, most of them are true false because it was a little technical and I'm not that smart. Yeah, okay. God knows I don't do math. I don't do numbers. But so if you disagree with Paul, you get to jump in and then you can have the contrary.
Well, if it's true or false and he gets it wrong, then by process of elimination.
Right. Okay. So are you ready?
No.
Okay. You never are, my friend.
No, never.
Since the exact value of pi can never be calculated because it goes on forever, we can never truly find the accurate area or circumference of a circle. Is that true or false?
It's false.
Do you want to jump in and take the opposite?
I will say it's true.
It's true.
See.
And again, I don't really know. You know, this is just I Googled it and found some pi facts. So apparently, many mathematicians believe that it's more accurate to say that a circle has infinite corners than it has no corners. Isn't that interesting?
Infinite
corners, then no corners.
What is infinite, though? The human brain cannot grasp.
I cannot.
The infinite.
I cannot because I, no. I don't even really know what pi is.
Infinite sounds intimidating, though.
It does. Yeah. So there you go. So we can never truly find the circumference of a circle.
Sweet,
isn't that weird?
How do engineers build buildings?
That's why they crumble, I guess. I have no idea.
Wow. That explains a lot. It's all coming together now. Yeah. This is why everything falls apart. Okay,
there is
great.
An art, not just a science. There's an art. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
The Greek letter pi means infinite. True or false?
Oof.
Do you want him to go first? You want to defer?
I'm not feeling lucky now.
Yeah, you're not.
Not St. Patrick's Day. That's coming up.
You go, Chris.
Oh, man.
The Greek letter pi means infinite.
I'll say true because you just said the word infinite.
I'll go with false.
It's false.
Yeah.
I just made it up. Sorry. I just made it up.
You just made it
up. Wait a minute.
Just made it up.
Taking one for the team.
The Greek letter pi is just a letter.
It doesn't mean anything.
It has a meaning. No, yeah. I just made it up. So I'm trying to trick you. I tricked him.
Yeah. That's not tough.
So get this. Maybe your daughter would know the answer to this. There is an entire language made from the number pi.
Ugh.
Some people love pi enough to invent a dialect. It's called Pilish. The numbers of letters in each word match a corresponding digit. So, for example, the first word has three letters, 3.14 has three letters. The second one has four, the fourth letter has five, and so on and so forth. So the true question here is, are people really this passionate about pi to create their own language?
Yes. Yes.
It's true.
I would say yes. That sounds like something somebody would obsess over.
There is a language called Pilish.
I like to nerd out on stuff, but this is a whole new level Pilish. Of nerding out.
If I say Pilish and I don't know what I'm going to get, I'm almost scared.
Pilish. Okay, ready?
Yes. Paul got that one. He's got two. Yay.
Congress passed Resolution 224. Congress hoped that celebrating Pi Way would cultivate a higher level of enthusiasm for math and science among American students. That's why they created the resolution. But they designated March 13th as Pi Day because they couldn't decide in a truly bipartisan fashion if it was 3.14 or 3.13.
Oh, God help us. That better be false. Really?
No. I'm going to say true because it sounds just ridiculous.
It's got to be 3.14.
Because Congress is so impotent and clueless.
Right.
But he's right.
I wouldn't put that past Congress, but...
Well, it's got to be 3.14 because you round up.
It's false.
3.14, 3.14.
But there is a resolution, 224, to get kids more excited about it, but it is on today.
It's 314, yeah.
That's a pie way to hell right there.
I just have to take a crack at Congress.
That's good. Yeah, you did.
They're disappointing in every way. It wouldn't shock me if they actually...
How many billions of dollars did they waste to come up with that?
Givenchy sells a men's cologne named Pi. The company markets this product as capable of enhancing attractiveness of intelligent and visionary men. True or false that there is a Givenchy cologne named Pi?
I'll let you go, Paul.
I hope that's not true. I'm going to go with false.
I'm going to say true because, again, that sounds just ridiculous enough that it would be true.
It's true.
It is true. There's a really a cologne called Pie? And you smell like math?
Say, what do you see? You smell like math. Congratulations, you smell like nerd.
Nothing. No greater turn on. Oh, my.
That's so good.
I get a whiff of you. I want to do trigonometry.
That is good. I like it.
Body odor and desperation about
kind of sexy. Kind of sexy.
Underscore the desperation.
And because you requested a pie question, what is the most caloric slice of pie?
Highest calorie?
Yeah, I'm not giving you a multiple choice. You just guess.
That would be something with whipped cream, right? I mean...
Boy, oh boy. It wouldn't be apple. Apple's almost healthy.
Okay.
almost.
I know, right?
Doused in cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give me a hint.
Okay, fine. Is it French silk? Is it key lime? Or is it pecan? And by the way, the listeners say that it is pecan, not pecan.
As pecan. As pecan.
So French silk, key lime, or pecan?
I'm going to go French silk.
Yeah, I would say the other two have fruits in them, so I would say French silk.
Nuts have health benefits, but they're high in calories. The pecans, the sugar, the butter, the pie crust, 500 calories per slice.
It pecan is higher?
How big is that slice, really? Though? I mean, what if you have a small slice
they're
and a
peanuts.
Bigger slice?
According to Shape Magazine, over 500 calories
Look
a slice.
Look at my shape.
No, they're pecans. Magazine. They're not peanuts.
Well, they're pecans. They're in the peanut family.
All right, I got one more.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking both died on Pi Day. True or false, meaning March 14th.
That's just weird enough to be true.
I'm going to say false. I have a feeling it's
true. It is false, but you were close. Albert Einstein was born on March 14th, 1879, and Stephen Hawking died on March 15th, 2018.
Really?
So surrounding Pi Day, but I just wanted to check you out.
I figured one of them would have been the 313. Yeah, oh, yeah, mathematician. That's,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Paul, that's, wow.
Yeah, that is good. Freaky.
I'm out of questions.
Okay, thank you.
You did poorly.
Well, better than average.
I don't know, Chris, how did we do? Were you keeping score over there?
I kept score up until it was 3-3, and then I just figured, I don't want anybody to go away feeling sad.
Yeah, that's right. Well, good job. That was fun. Now you've learned a lot about pie, and we'll start speaking Pilish on the show.
I'm going to search for that cologne from Givenchy. I want to smell like math.
Smell like smart people.
Yeah,
I wonder what that's like.
Make sure
I have
it's
no
math.
Idea. I have no idea what it's like to smell like that.
I think that's what Maxie uses.
He probably does.
Yeah. Mike Max up next. Just a fire hose of sports. There's always a fire hose of sports updates and breaking news. Maxie Sports brought to you by the John Schuster Group at Coldwell Banker Real Estate. Maxie, I'm just curious what's going through your brain. The extension for Kirk Cousins, $35 million, one-year extension, and the Twins making some big-time trades with the Yankees. No more Josh Donaldson, right?
No more Josh. And we're not Joshing it. Donaldson's gone, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, I've said all along on this radio station and on TV that he'd be back as the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes, you
the
did.
Reason that I said that was because I knew on the inside that he was being leaned on a lot and his opinion was being valued. And then I saw that he got some things done that he wanted to get done. And so I knew that he was coming back to play quarterback. This is just an extension that gives him more salary cap space, and there's no downside really to having him for the next 2 years. He's not out of his prime. Quarterbacks can play for a long time, and they don't have anybody on the horizon that looks like they're knocking on the door to supplant him as the starting quarterback. So I think he played his cards right. The other piece to it that maybe people are not aware of, again, the inside stuff, is that I think he knew that his teammates expected him to rework his contract in some respects. They thought, if we're going to win, we need to add some free agents, and you Cousins are the most logical to redo your contract to give us some salary cap space. So I think he felt that as well. And then he held out a little bit and got some things done that he wanted to get done because he knew he was in a power position. And at the end of it, I'm not surprised by any of that. I'm more surprised that the Twins are making all these trades because I thought they'd go heavy into free agency here and just start signing players. And instead, it's been a trade bonanza, not just for them, but for many teams in Major League Baseball. And And Donaldson for Ursula and Sanchez is, I mean, Donaldson, I liked Donaldson when he was here because of his competitive. He was all in, but he didn't really produce something that would parallel his contract. So I don't know that that's a huge loss. It's hard to say if he's still got prime left in him or if he's on the downward slide of his career.
I know you got Giselle on your cell phone.
Yeah, right? You guys are texting.
A mm-hmm. favorite.
Who's Giselle?
Giselle Brady.
Which Giselle?
Which Giselle?
Such a good response.
We only have a minute, but can you speculate, theorize why Brady is coming back for one more year, making an even 23 seasons? Why?
Hang on. I'm just thinking about Giselle for a minute.
Wait, no.
Stop it.
When the philosopher asked why, the student says, why not? I think that answers it for Brady. I think you get the, you know, I remember Brett Favre had one of the best lines when he was contemplating retirement or coming back. He said, I can go play golf, but it ain't quite the rush as having a 300-pounder chasing you that might end your career as it is hitting a driver. I'd rather have there's more adrenaline in the 300-pounder. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's it for Brady. He realizes that you only get so many whacks at the pinata, as they say.
The adrenaline high.
Yep.
You know, that's true. If
wow.
you play,
hadn't thought
play.
Of it that way.
Got to live while it's here, right?
Yeah. Maxie, you're amazing.
Maxie.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you got it. Timberwolves pregame tonight at 7 o'clock, so we won't see Maxie here on the station, but of course, you can see him on TV. Mm-hmm. The news is next on CCO.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.